We're going to just kind of keep moving on today. We took January and we talked about prayer. Last week we talked about studying the Bible and how important that is. And today I just kind of want to talk about our church vision. We're walking into the pond hockey weekend. You know, I mean, we're sprinting into the pond hockey weekend. It's coming up real soon. I'm really glad. You know, the weather last week looked like a perfect day. It was going to be 18 to 20 degrees, you know, like all this nice. And then all of a sudden at the beginning of this week, it was like, nope, it's going to be 6 degrees. And then now again, it's starting to warm up again a little bit on Saturday. We're going to keep praying for good weather. We're working against John. You know, there's something in his nature that makes bad weather happen on events he plans. I don't know what it is, but we're going to keep praying for good weather. I mean, seriously, it's so crazy. In February, the very first year we were talking about it, it rained, like downpour rained all day in February. Was it 2 or 3 years ago? It was like 40. We're out there playing boot hockey at the end of the day. You know, it was crazy. It's just so funny. But it looks like it's going to be a great day, and we're excited about it. But why do we do those kinds of things? You know, why are we so intentional about being in our community, about being a part of our community, about doing those kind of things? It's because we believe it's what the Bible tells us to do. We believe that it's so important. Like we think it's so important for a church to come together and grow in our relationship with God and learn about the Word of God and all those kind of things. But if church to you is just going someplace and sitting down once a week and then that's good enough, I'm just going to say this probably isn't the church for you, because that is not our goal. Our goal is not for us to just get together once a week and feel good about ourselves for those couple hours, and then that's it. That's Jesus for the week and we're done. We believe God calls us to so much more than that. We believe that God tells us to be a part of the people around us and to inject Jesus into our relationships. And our vision statement in our church is reaching our community through building relationships, right? Like that is what we believe in. We stand wholeheartedly behind that. That's why we do things like pond hockey. And that's why we do things like on Easter, we're not just going to have a service. We're going to have a time to reach out to the kids in our community before the service even. That's why we do things like the harvest party, you know, the harvest festival. Like we believe so much in being a part of this community, and it's such an important thing. And so we're going to just read some of the verses today where some of those ideas come from. Some of this is going to sound really familiar to you. We're going to go back into one of the ones where we were talking about prayer a little bit here in Ephesians chapter 3, where you're going to hear some of this stuff again. We've been talking about the life of Paul at the end of last year, but it's such a big deal for us to engage relationships around us. I want you to open to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 is where we're going to start. And I'm going to read through basically this entire chapter. So I know that's a lot for some of you, but we're going to be okay. Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to know Paul is sitting in prison, and he's going to tell you that. He's sitting in prison because he has been sharing the gospel. Right? He has been sharing the gospel, and he is sitting in a prison cell. We talked about this in the life of Paul as we kind of went through that series. He's been sitting in prison for somewhere around 2 years waiting for a trial that he really never gets. They end up sending him to Rome because it doesn't come to a conclusion. But it's such an important thing, and I want you to kind of hear it to get the backdrop of this. Paul is in prison, and he's writing to this church in Ephesus, and he has relationship with these people. He was there for a long time. This church in Ephesus is actually a huge port city. There's so much stuff that goes through this, and it became a kind of a really core church in the first century. But I just want you to hear his words. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles. I'm going to read that again, just in case you missed it. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles. Paul described himself as a Jew of Jews, right? When Paul first comes on the scene in the New Testament, his name is Saul, right? And what's he famous for at the beginning? Killing Jewish Christians. Persecuting Jews who had become Christians. That's what we know him from. When you read the beginning of Acts, when you first see Saul show up, he is committing genocide. He is seeking out Jewish Christians and he's trying to exterminate them. That's his goal, right? He calls himself a Jew of Jews. He was a Pharisee. He had set himself apart. Every Jewish Pharisee would have looked down their nose at a Gentile. To a Jew, there were Jews and everybody else. That's what a Gentile is, everybody else, right? So if you're not a Jew in this place, you are everybody else. You are a Gentile. And Paul goes from being this Jew of Jews to being in prison for the Gentiles, right? He is in prison because he has been preaching the gospel of Christ to people who aren't Jews, and they don't like it. So they put him in prison too, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me a special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to the previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Verse 6, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Paul says, we didn't get it before. We weren't given the whole picture before, but now we know. Everybody, whether they're a Jew or anyone else, if you accept Christ, you're part of that family now. Everybody. This is not a Jewish thing. This isn't a Gentile thing. This is an everybody thing. When you choose Jesus, you are now a part of the family of God. That's what we know that we didn't know. That's what I'm in prison for preaching. That's what I have been given insight into God for, is that everybody now who chooses Christ is a part of the family. Verse 7, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. There's a shift that just happened. Up until this point, when the Jews approached God, how did they do it? Those of you Old Testament scholars out there, how did they approach God? In the temple, they knelt with faces down. They covered their faces. They had to sacrifice before God. Yep. Through Moses. That's a big part of it at the beginning. Yep. Say it again. Through a priest, not themselves, through a priest who mediated for them. Yep. Through fear. Right? Like, I don't know how many of you know this. Probably at least some of you do. When the priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, when he would go into the direct presence of God once a year, they sewed little bells to the bottom of his robe. Do you know why? Because if they stopped jingling, they knew he was dead, and they pulled him out by the rope that was attached to his ankle. Sounds exciting. I'm really glad I don't have to preach with jingle bells on. Right? It's a ding, 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 ding. Some of you wouldn't hear nothing else. Like, You just start trying to pick the pitch of the jingle bells, like see how often I moved. You start counting how many times they happen, you know, like coming before God required some fear and some awe. Now listen, I think there's some very appropriateness of that. Sometimes I do think we get a little too comfortable with God. The whole process of going into the God, you can go climb the Temple Mount today in Israel. I've never been there, but I've read an awful lot about it. They purposefully made the stairs different lengths and like different heights and different depths so that as you walk up to the temple, you had to pay very close attention as you walked into the presence of God. You couldn't just do it with half a mind or you'd trip and fall. Right? Like everything about the temple was about engaging your mind and your awareness as you come into the presence of God. And I do think, like I said, I think there's some appropriateness for that. But Paul writes now, what? We get to come into God's presence boldly and confidently. I'll tell you, the church that I grew up in did not really teach Jesus this way. It was still like the, you know, like, don't look right at it. Get on your knees and come and just kind of hope God doesn't strike you with a lightning bolt at that moment because you're not worthy. I'm not worthy, but Jesus is. And he already paid the price. I don't have to come to God sick to my stomach anymore wondering if he's going to hate me. He has done the work. If I choose him because of Jesus and our relationship with him, now I get to come boldly into the presence of God. Church, that's the Jesus we're supposed to share. That's the Jesus we're supposed to engage our friends and family with, our coworkers with, people in our circles of influence. That's why we're supposed to do it, because Jesus is here and he's good. Verse 14, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, this should sound familiar now if you were here for the prayer series. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Paul doesn't say if you just experience a little bit of God's judgment and a little bit of his wrath, it's going to be all you need to sustain you through life. What he says is if you can just begin to taste and understand how much Jesus loves you, it's going to change everything. If you can just begin to wrap your mind just a little bit about how well you are loved by Jesus, everything changes. Church, that's our message. That's what we have to share. I'd ask you, if you're in this place and you don't feel any excitement to share the love of Jesus, when was the last time you just sat down in his presence and let his love overwhelm you? Where you just sat down, made space and made time, and just come face to face with the love of Jesus. Church, when that happens, there should be no way to contain it. There should be no way to shut that up. There should be no way for us to go through life and not want other people to experience that because it's so good. It's so good. Verse 20, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. Jesus is working in you to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think to ask. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Paul included you in that prayer. You are a part of the church of Christ for all generations. And he wants us to understand who God is. Listen, church, this is the core of what it means. This is the core of why it is. Because of what Jesus has done in us, we need to talk and share with other people. We need to share with other people. I'm going to read Acts 1:8, and I want you to hear it again. We've shared this verse so often, but Acts 1:8, Jesus is talking to his disciples right before he ascends into heaven. And they ask him, all right, is it time for Rome to go down? Is it time? Are you going to lead the army now? Like, they still don't get it. Jesus has died and rose from the dead, and they're still like, but the army, Jesus. Rome is still in power. And Jesus is like, come. I mean, I'm sure he's not, but like in my mind, if I'm Jesus, I'm like, guys, what do I have to do? You know, like, fortunately, Jesus is filled with a lot more love and compassion than I am. And that's good. And he says this to them in response to that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says right here, basically, like, you know Jerusalem, you know Judea, that's where we live. Samaria, that's our neighbors, and we hate them, and they hate us. You're even supposed to share your love with him. And to the ends of the earth, that's you. You're everybody else, right? Again, everybody else. We're part of a Pentecostal denomination in the Assemblies of God. Maybe you come here just because you like something else. I don't know. You like the coffee and donuts, and that's great if that's why you're here. But we're a Pentecostal church here. Okay, that's what we are. We believe that the Holy Spirit is active in today. We don't believe the gifts cease. We believe that the Holy Spirit wants to come into our life, do a second work of grace, and empower us for witness. And this is one of the things, again, growing up in the church I grew up in, I heard all about speaking in tongues almost every week. It was about speaking in tongues, and the Holy Spirit came, and he empowered you to speak in tongues. Can I tell you, that is not why the Holy Spirit empowered us. It is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not the purpose. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to be witnesses wherever we go. So can I just get ready to step on your toes a second? Brace yourself, I'm warning you ahead of time. Just kind of take a deep breath and get ready. If you've been speaking in tongues for the last 30 years, but haven't shared your faith one time in that 30 years, I would question whether or not you're really baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because all you're doing is functioning in evidence, not in purpose. Can we still be friends? We okay with that? Evidence versus purpose. I love being able to speak in a heavenly language. I love that God gave me that gift. I love being able to pray that way when I don't know what to pray. I love being able to do those kind of things. But can I just tell you in this place that that is not the end game? The Holy Spirit will come. And when he does, he will empower you to share my name through Jerusalem, not mine, Jason. Jesus is saying this, just so we're on the same page. Through Jerusalem, your hometown, Judea, the surrounding area, Samaria, the people that you don't like and you don't think are worthwhile, and to everybody else. The Holy Spirit is going to come and empower you to reach them. We do not believe in secret meetings of the saints here, where we just get together and we serve our Jesus and then we go out and we pretend like nothing happened. You will find, if you attend here long enough, that you are surrounded by people who are failures just like you. We fail. I fail. I do not have it all figured out. My life is not perfect. I make mistakes. I have to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. I have to ask forgiveness and move back into a path with Jesus. I wish I could tell you that when I chose Jesus, I have never made a mistake since, but that would be lying, which is a mistake. This isn't about coming to a place and pretending to have it all together. This is about coming to a place, encountering Jesus, being filled with his grace, compassion, and Holy Spirit and power, and then going outside of these walls and making a difference in the lives that you impact. That's what church is for. That's what Jesus is about. That's what the Holy Spirit wants from us. It's such an important thing for us to grasp the whys. The Holy Spirit came to empower us to be witnesses. You can share your faith if you've never spoken in tongues. The Holy Spirit is still inside of you. Don't wait for that. Jesus wants us to make a difference. Reaching our community through building relationships. We believe in this place that we are much more effective building relationships with people and sharing Jesus in those relationships than we are just yelling at people with a bullhorn on the side of the street. Relationship is such an important thing. It's such a big deal. It's why we have events like the pond hockey tournament. It's why we do those kinds of things. It fits inside of that vision. I'll tell you, every single year that we have done the pond hockey tournament, I have had a chance, because I am very intentional about looking for people that are maybe on the fringes or sitting by a fire barrel by themselves or whatever. And sometimes it just happens. I don't know. I also just talk to everybody I see. But I have never once gone to the pond hockey tournament and not had a chance to share Jesus with somebody. His hope, his healing, his forgiveness. I've listened to stories. I have met people and heard stories at the pond hockey tournament of people I probably never would have met without the pond hockey tournament. Because I'm not a hockey player. Never have been, never will be. I go out and I like chase a little black puck with a stick. I don't play hockey. That's not my crowd. It's not my group. But I go to the pond hockey tournament and I meet people that I maybe never would meet and have a chance to talk with them. And something as crazy as hockey allows me to share eternal truth with people. That's why we do it. We don't yell about Jesus. We don't make everybody come and listen to a big gospel message so they can play. We want people in relationship, building relationship, rubbing shoulders with the community, engaging people, because we believe that matters. This is such an important part of the DNA of our church. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 15. We were just in 1:8. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 15. If I have a life verse, this is probably it. I mean, there's lots of verses that I love in scripture, but if I have a life verse, this is probably the one. If you go into my office, every time you walk out, if you look above my door, you will see it hanging there above the door. What's happened is Paul and Barnabas have been so effective in preaching the gospel to the Gentiles that now there is this wave of Gentile believers coming to Christ. And the Jews are like, okay, it's great that you've chosen Jesus, but now you need to become a Jew. That's what they're saying. And part of that, for a man in particular, requires surgery in a very sensitive spot. It's just part of it. If you don't understand what I'm saying, Ask your mom and dad later. And the Gentiles were like, I'm not ready for that. I love Jesus. I don't think we need to be Jews. And Paul and Barnabas are like, yeah, you don't need to be Jews. You need to love Jesus. And the Jews are like, no, they need to be Jews because we're God's chosen people. And they get into this giant argument about it, and it's starting to divide the church. And so they go to Jerusalem, and they have what's called the Jerusalem Council. It's the very first time where the leaders get together, and they're going to decide some doctrine. Okay? Do the Gentiles have to become Jews to be Christians? That's what they're discussing in this thing. And so you see them all come together, right? And in Acts chapter 15, verse 12, it says, everyone listened quietly as Barnabas and Paul told about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. When they had finished, James stood and said, now this is James, the brother of Jesus, okay? This isn't James, the brother of John, the son of thunder, who was a disciple, okay? This is James, the brother of Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, has become a Christian. Again, I've talked about this a lot in this place. Have you ever thought about how weird it would be to have to pray to your brother for forgiveness of sins? Like, his is probably the least questionable conversion of all time, because you have to believe he's God if you're going to pray to him and say, I'm a sinner, forgive me, brother. Right? That's James. The brother of Jesus, he's become the leader of the Jerusalem church. As the apostles spread out and took the gospel out, James becomes the leader of the Christian church in Jerusalem. And he says this, brothers, listen to me. Verse 14, Peter has told you about the time God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for himself. And this conversion of Gentiles is exactly what the prophets predicted. So he says, you've heard Peter talk about it. Now you've heard Paul talk about it. Now I want you to listen to what the scriptures say. Verse 16, afterwards I will return and restore the fallen house of David. I will rebuild its ruins and restore it so that the rest of humanity might seek the Lord, including the Gentiles. All those I have called to be mine, the Lord has spoken. He who made these things known so long ago. Verse 19, and so my judgment is this, and this is the verse. This is probably, if I have a life verse, this is the one. And so my judgment is this, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. I love that verse. I love that verse. People were coming to Jesus, and the church immediately put up its walls, and they're like, yeah, but there's all these rules that you got to get figured out first. You don't look like us. You haven't had to go through surgery like we did. You don't know our history. You don't know how we do things. Before you come to Jesus, now you got to follow all these rules, and then you can be one of us. And James says, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to Jesus. Instead, we should write to them and tell them to abstain from eating food offered to idols, from sexual immorality, and from eating meat of strangled animals, and from consuming blood. For these laws of Moses have been preached in Jewish synagogues in every city on every Sabbath for many generations. That's the list to begin with. Right? Paul clearly goes through and he talks about some other things, but here's what I want you to start with. Ready? When you come to Jesus, I want you to do these things. I want you to not eat food offered to idols. And I know that doesn't sound like a big deal to us, but that's a sacrifice for them. Because lots of the meat was sacrificed to idols and then it was sold later. It was the cheapest way to get meat at that point in time. And they're saying, nope. Why? Because the Jews have heard this preached their whole lives, and it's going to be so offensive to them. So right away, what he's saying is, we need to think about other people. The Jews are going to find it so offensive, they can't visit your homes. Don't be sexually immoral. That is an encompassing thing to say. But it's a big deal. Don't eat meat of strangled animals, and don't drink blood, because the Jews are going to find these so offensive. That's the list. If you strangle an animal, don't eat it. Don't be a vampire. Don't drink blood, in case you missed that reference. Don't eat meat, sacrifice to idols, and stay sexually pure. This is good. Don't make it difficult for the Gentiles turning to God. Again, I know Paul writes a list and he has all of these other things, but listen, that's once we're part of once we've chosen the family of God, once we're part of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit brings about those changes and grows in us. It is not your job to make a bunch of rules for people to follow before they can become followers of Jesus. That is not your job. That's what they were trying to do. And James says we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles coming to Jesus. Should we grow in Christ? The longer we serve Jesus, should some of those things fall away from our lives and we move closer to him? Absolutely. But what he is saying is, don't demand that they have it figured out before they come to me. Church, sometimes I'm guilty of this. And I'm guessing at some point in time in your life, if you've been following Jesus for very long, you've probably had some of those thoughts too. Well, they probably love Jesus, but not like I do. Reaching our community through building relationships. We try and make it as easy as possible for our people to rub shoulders with people and inject Jesus into those situations. And when somebody comes to Christ, it is not our job to try and decide whether or not they can be part of the club. We should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is probably better at that than you. He's God. The Holy Spirit will lead. The Holy Spirit will guide. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it is my judgment that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Let's go get it. Let's take the love of Jesus. Let's get it done. If we really love Jesus, if we really experienced his love, how in the world do we not want other people to have that? God, you're good. Empower us with your message, in your way, and in your time to engage the relationships that we're in. to see people and know when it's time. Reveal your plan for us. We ask that you use us. We ask that you speak through us, empower us, fill us with hope and love. Let us engage our community. God, this week, as we rub shoulders with people who will not know you, help us to make sure that showing them who you are is a priority. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Take Jesus with you. Have an awesome Sunday.